Truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day, have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Wednesday, the 5th day of July. The prep tip of the day is to work on your physical fitness. If you have underlying health issues, be sure you check with your healthcare professional before you start anything that could cause you harm. We have patient Wayne Greenroom, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest more than 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. 1 or 2 excellent articles written every week. His 6 books for sale at amazon.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, I hope you enjoyed the celebration of our independence from England yesterday.
Yes, I did.
And so did I. Well, Jeff, what's the top of your radar that you want to talk about this morning, sir?
Well, I saw the movie Sound of Freedom yesterday on the 4th of July.
And
very good, and everyone should go out and see it. So
well, I'm putting together a group viewing of it this Friday myself at the Sullivan 6 Cinema. Anybody who wants to join me and our friends, just be at the Sullivan 6 Cinema at 12:30 p.m. on Friday, the 7th day of June, and we'll watch it as a group. I'm looking forward to it, and the accolades are expected and well deserved, aren't they, Jeff?
Yes, it's very well done, but it's also very important. It's a very important film, and it's extraordinary that it was filmed 5 years ago.
Really?
And it's been blocked. This is what they explain at the end of the movie in the message. And of course, when you see what's in the film, you realize why it was blocked, because this issue, this problem, we have more slaves today than during the Civil War.
Really? In the United States?
Or at any time in history. Well, there's more than 20 million children are sex slaves today in the world.
In the world. Okay.
And most of them end up in the United States.
Really?
Because this is where the rapacious appetite for children is. It's like drugs. We're most of the drugs in the world, illegal drugs are bought here in the U.S., also in Europe and the Western world. We're the big consumer of sin, you know. That's what we're the consumer of now. This is the fastest growing business, by the way, in the world, is the pedophilia sex business.
It's very shocking to learn this, and in all the decades I was a homicide detective and criminal defense investigator, I never ran across any incident even close to that in my working in that area all those decades. It's kept very well hidden, isn't it?
Well, people don't like to talk about it, and it's very ugly. You had a book, I think, you know, more than two decades ago, almost three decades ago now, the Franklin cover-up, about a pedophile ring in Nebraska. And so John DeCamp, a state senator, wrote the book about his adventures. He was a lawyer, adventures in court, trying to defend the children who came forward to testify. Actually, they were just in the process of becoming adults when they revolted against this. And the tragedy was that the system put those children in jail for telling the story.
Really? What crime is that? What crime were they charged with and convicted of?
Well, of course, lying in court.
Oh.
Bearing false witness in court, lying under oath. Yeah.
That's a tragedy. Well, I talked earlier this morning about another video that was suppressed. That would be the second video that wasn't released with George Floyd until more than a month later, after tens of millions of dollars of damage, and I don't know how many people died. The second video of George Floyd sitting in the back of a police cruiser, handcuffed, saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," which demonstrated that he was in the process of dying from his drug overdose that he voluntarily took, enough drugs to kill two normal, healthy males.
He took fentanyl, right?
I believe that was part of it. It was a cocktail mix. Fentanyl was one of them, right?
Fentanyl causes respiratory arrest very famously.
Precisely.
Has a tendency to do that.
Right. But that somebody had the power to hold back that video until after the cities burned and people died, didn't they?
Yeah, of course. Well, the communists, they were going to find a candidate. You know, you've got a country with thousands and thousands of police officers having violent interactions with citizens because we have so much crime and violence. And there's bound to either be a mistake or at least the appearance of a tragic mistake in which racism can be blamed and people can come out and riot. So all you need, look at France. Look at what's happening in France.
Let's talk about that. Now, the situation died down Monday. What's your expectation now? The Muslims are using automatic weapons and hand grenades against the police and the military, which tells me that they were getting ready for something in advance. What do you think is going to happen in France, Jeff? What's your opinion?
Well, I don't know. We had this thing happen more than 15 years ago where they burned, I forget, what was it, 20,000 automobiles were burned, and right. There was a similar kind of rioting. Look, these things, mobs get excited by events that trigger them. And there was the Crowd was a book written by Gustave Le Bon, you know, more than 120 years ago. It's a classic on mob psychology. And an idea or being enraged, it can pass into a crowd. Once you are psychologically part of a crowd, you are in a very low state in terms of you're not a full individual anymore. And you're susceptible to the contagion of a certain kind of idea. And so you can become possessed by this. And of course, that's why they erupt almost like earthquakes. They erupt and years go by and nothing happens. Because people are individuals and they tend to then regard, well, I don't want to go to jail or I don't want to run around with a grenade or a gun or burn down buildings. And of course, if you're an incendiary, if you're a trained communist, they're a very small minority. They need the cover of such events to do their mischief. Like in the LA riots, the LA County Sheriff said there were organized communist groups that were burning the buildings. They had down to a system.
Right,
most of the
right.
people were just rioting, and you know. And of course, this is becoming more, the more society devolves into being a mob, the less individualized people are, the more subject to ideologically motivated hysteria. The more likely you're going to have this. This the French Revolution was all about the mob, the Paris mob. It wasn't until Napoleon gave them a whiff of grape and mowed down a mob with grape shot. In a famous incident, which kind of made him as a general important in the government. So, you know,
Jeff, I debriefed a retired Los Angeles firefighter. He said that after the riots were over, the firemen were recovering military issue incendiary devices where these buildings were burned up. And I recall another incident where a gun store was attacked by several men who had a truck and apparently a plan to clean out the gun store. These were so the riots were portrayed as mostly very upset people acting out their distress, where in fact there was organized groups of criminals who took advantage of this, and other organized groups, which included communists, that were burning down buildings using military issue incendiary devices, correct?
Yeah. I mean, LA County Sheriff was, you know, had a lot of knowledge. They had also, in the LA County Jail, of course, they had these gangs in the jail, and they had intelligence from gang members in the jail about what was going on the street. So they had a lot of knowledge about what was going on in LA, but a lot of people dismiss it. Oh, they're just a bunch of right-wingers. And of course, the Governor Wilson of California at the time behaved in a very, you could say, obsequious way until finally they had to get more serious about it. But this was the case when the police officers were tried in the case of Rodney King. They were tried in Simi Valley and found not guilty of wrongful behavior. And the federal government had to turn around and charge them with violating Rodney King's civil rights.
Right.
A different charge, of course, but it was really double jeopardy. And then
of course it's double jeopardy. On the face of it, it was a clear-cut case of double jeopardy I've ever seen.
Well, this is what these new laws, these discrimination laws, which are very poorly defined in law, because how can you tell if someone's discriminating? If I do something to someone, how do you know whether I'm doing it? You know, I'm allegedly doing it. You know, allegedly, the white jury in Simi Valley, the jury of their peers, didn't think they had done anything wrong.
Right.
You get a black jury in a federal jurisdiction, and you can convict them easily because it isn't the prejudice of the police necessarily. I mean, maybe there is in some cases, but how do you – it becomes in the eye of the beholder. If you believe you live in a racist America, you're going to automatically believe that the cops did it for those reasons. But how can you go inside the mind of a police officer and know whether he has done something to a suspect because of the color of his skin? I don't know how you can establish that in a court.
Well, they have to use inferential things like Facebook posting, statements he made to friends and relatives, mm-hmm. things like that to have the inference, don't they?
Yeah, I didn't follow the trial after that point. And I think most people became exhausted by the whole process of the riots and the trial beforehand. Do you remember what it was that they used to try to convict these cops?
I really don't offhand. I don't, unfortunately. But the if there was any good thing about it was what the Korean businessmen did to defend their homes and businesses. Typically, their business was on the first floor and their home was on the second floor. And they successfully defended their homes, didn't they, sir?
Well, yeah, people who want to come and commit a crime don't like being shot at. So,
as a general rule, no.
Yeah. And so they'd rather go and do something where they're not going to be shot at. So it's kind of effective when you have bullets whizzing over your head. It's kind of, all right, I'm going to leave here and go do something somewhere else.
Yeah, let's go attack a business where nobody's shooting back at us. That would be a really good thing.
But the politicization of certain crimes and certain positions has been, I mean, that was the LA riots. That's more than 30 years ago now. 31 years ago last January, if I remember correctly. And so it's not something that – it's not a good corner that we turned. And, of course, what exacerbates race prejudice more than judging everything by race and making a big deal out of race? You know, what we want to do is we want people to be treated as people and not have this – these extreme statements and attributing people to as racists just because their skin is white. Now, that's a form of racism in itself. You know, the Supreme Court just struck down quotas for colleges. Now, how on earth are they going to enforce that when all of the colleges do this as a matter of course?
It will be. There's some controversy about whether the U.S. military academies will follow suit, or whether they will continue to use race-based quotas in the military academies.
Yeah, I mean, in all the schools, and so it's except for the ones that don't have, you know, the ones that anyone can get into. It doesn't matter. It's the elite schools, and so we've got this peculiar thing. When you read the manifesto of the Communist Party USA, it is all about race. You know, you say, well, what does this have to do with Karl Marx? It's because it's the way Marxism has evolved. See, Marxism is always trying to adapt itself to the circumstances of the times. And since the proletariat wouldn't make a revolution, they'd go to the discontent of women, minorities, immigrants, the LGBTQ community, so on and so forth. And they try to radicalize them and use their victimhood as an excuse for a revolt, revolution, radical policies. And so keeping racial tensions high, causing trouble between the sexes, confusing people about certain issues has been at the top of the communist agenda to in order to divide our society. Now, according to sex, according to race, sexual orientation and race, that's the game. That's the communist game now. And although people say, oh, no, that's not communism. No, you're not following closely enough. You're not seeing Maoism was communism with Chinese characteristics. Leninism was communism with Russian characteristics. You've got now this whole emphasis on race is communism with 21st century American characteristics. That's what people have to understand. It is communism that has originated all this.
Well, that's foundational that people need to understand this. Otherwise, if you don't have a good foundation to begin with, you're hopelessly lost, aren't you?
Well, you'll be misoriented. You'll start talking about globalists, which is a vague term, which communism is communist and communist movement. And most people in the communist movement don't even know it's a communist movement. That's not really vague. If you understand it, you can define it. It's got a history, the popular fronts, all of the things that the communists have done from the 1920s on to manipulate the politics of the people of countries in the West, to sort of shepherd the left, so to speak, in the way they do. And now, of course, shepherding the right as well. Because now right-wing Bolshevism is the latest phenomenon. They've actually finally perfected that and moved it in a certain direction. But they don't, you know, communism after 1991, they tore off the label. They don't need the label hurts them. You know, this is what Derek Shearer told me in 1981. He wrote the book Economic Democracy with Tom Hayden, Jane Fonda's husband. And Economic Democracy, I asked Mr. Shearer, he came to my campus at UC Irvine to speak. And I said, Mr. Shearer, you know, this sounds just like socialism and communism. Why do you use the term economic democracy? And he says, well, communism and socialism are perfectly good words. And he said, there is no difference, but these are good words. But the American people, they don't like those words. So we have to invent new words to get them to accept communism and socialism, because they'll reject those words out of hand because they've been propagandized by the system that those are bad things. So the communists are very clever in putting over their message without using the word communism or without using the word socialism. And I've talked to communists and I've read their literature. Anyone can go read it. Now, most people don't read it because it sounds so weird. They're not familiar with the terms, so they don't understand what they're talking about. They've got their own Aesopian language. But if you've studied it and you follow it, you know exactly what you're looking at.
Absolutely. Jeff, we've got a caller on hold here. We're at John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have two questions, one about the George Floyd and the Rodney King incidents. How is it that someone was there on the site taking pictures and photographing the whole thing?
That's
that just a coincidence?
Everybody has a cell phone with a built-in camera. There were lots of witnesses.
I know, but how did this person...
Not at the time of Rodney King, I don't think.
Rodney King.
I didn't have smartphones then.
Oh, that was taken from quite a distance, as I recall, that one.
And I also understand that Rodney King and the police officer, Chauvin, he was... they both worked at bouncers at a club, I understand. So they may have been acquainted with each other. And also that club, when the riots broke out, was the first place to get torched.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But, yeah, it's been a long time, more than 30 years. Everybody was quite shocked by what happened. But it's not, 2020 was much worse, the summer of 2020.
But you find anything strange or untoward about the circumstances of Rodney King? Or just something that was just a real incident that was taken advantage of? Or was it? Or possibly, are there people? Or do the communists have possible innocent or knowing people going around scouting out things to get on tape so they can bring up an issue?
Well, I remember I lived in Southern California when that happened, and I remember on KBC, I believe it was KBC Talk Radio, they invited on the chief spokesman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, which is a Maoist, a Chinese-backed communist group. And he was taking credit for the fires. He was taking credit for the revolution. So, you know, he was very enthusiastic. More was coming. He wanted he didn't want to lose the moment of the those riots. He wanted to build on them. But this is the kind of thing you get when you listen to a fanatical communist. And of course, there, in all of our cities, we have these communist groups who are waiting with their gasoline cans and their incendiaries to fire the cities. And we saw that in 2020, where they had an opportunity to burn, I don't know how many, there was way more than $1 billion. What was it, $2 billion worth of property damage? It was an enormous amount of property damage in the fires. And then the looting on top of it, the looting of stores. And that was intermittent throughout the summer. So we have a problem with social order in the country. We definitely have a problem in this business of reverse racism is a problem too, because we don't know where this is going to ultimately bring us. We've got critical race theory, by the way, which is now taught in the U.S. military to troops. It's basically the doctrine that all white people are racists and have to be reformatted because their color of the skin makes them racist. And it says that the country is a racist country with a genocidal history, and that America is one of the worst places in all of history and in the world, which is actually contrary to fact. But it demoralizes both people of color and white people and it sets them. If it doesn't demoralize them, and it sets them at odds with each other, because any white person who says, "Wait a minute, I'm not a racist. What are you doing accusing me? This is, you know," and then all of a sudden, "Oh no, you're being defensive. You are. This proves that you are, that you're denying it," you know, and this sets up a toxic environment within our own military. And the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, has verbally defended it and described the events of January 6th, and I remember the hearing, as an insurrection, which it was a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. Insurrection is when somebody tries to take over the government, you know, and it just wasn't the case. It was a bad event. It was a storming of the Capitol. It shouldn't have happened. We don't understand who provoked that. We haven't had a proper investigation of that. But, you know, it's this mischaracterization of the attitudes and actions of people and of incidents and events that completely disorients everybody and becomes a tool in the hands of the left and of the communists in particular to divide society and to justify those kind of people when they possess state power to use it against people who disagree with their politics.
Okay. Anything else, John?
For the Ukraine war, do you think that they understand that there's been a positioning around flanks and Bakhmut? Do you think that the Ukrainians will try to unleash their own version of Operation Uranus, or will they just continue to try and poke away at the southern front, trying to force their way through these in-depth defenses?
The Ukrainians, as I understand it, have not committed several of their brigades of tanks and, you know, mechanized infantry. They're still engaged in shaping attacks. They're striking at the Russian vehicles and logistics. And I think they're trying to knock out their logistical vehicles and bridges and rail connections. And they're systematically degrading the Russian forces with a very slow, effective, you know, this is my understanding. They have broken through the first line of defenses and they're in attacking the second line. But it's very slow. They're trying to do it to avoid casualties. There's a lot of the Russians have laid a lot of mines. And the Russians have now admitted now that they're having trouble feeding ammunition to their artillery. The Russian artillery is not as effective, and that's the key. The artillery is the really killing weapon that the Russians have, and it has not been as effective. And the Ukrainians, to effectively attack, have to weaken that Russian artillery arm in order to break through. So we'll have to see. But the real concerning thing to me is that Prigozhin and his mercenaries are in Belarus. And Mr. Prigozhin has made a statement saying that he is going to be helping the front line soon, which is really odd because he supposedly, you know, most of the news media just doesn't really listen to his words. But his words indicate in a roundabout way that he says that he's proud that he's helped the country, he's helped Russia, and he's going to be helping more at the front lines. So what in the heck does that mean? You know, nobody's really paying attention. He's actually somewhat saying that he didn't really go against Putin. He didn't go against Russia. That he's still working for Russia. So something's coming. The Russians have got to find a way out of this for themselves. And I think he has something to do with it.
Okay, John, thank you for your call. We have about an hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Company! Fix! Bayonets! Move!
That was the U.S. Marines seizing control of the government of Morocco in 1904, a movie portrayal of that. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. After a six-month search, I finally located the audio clip of myself and Dr. Horowitz discussing two things. First of all, a safe and effective vaccine cannot be made in 9 months or less. Number two, my personal belief that the vaccine, this is in May of 2020, by the way, my belief in May of 2020 that the vaccines were already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed, and I now have evidence to back that up. The Red Pill Expo, I'll be speaking at the next Red Pill Expo with J. Edgar Griffin the second weekend of August, August 12th and 13th. Details and tickets available at thelibertyman.com. Last but not least, the energy cleaners on sale until midnight Friday night, $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. And I need to mention also, if you want to view the film, with myself and my listeners, you can do so. The film Sound of Freedom is coming Friday the 7th at the Sullivan 6 Cinema. We're meeting at the lobby at 12:30 to watch the 1 p.m. showing of Sound of Freedom. It'll be a lot of fun. Hope you can make it. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at Amazon. Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please? You're on mute, Jeff. Jeff, there you go.
There's a PayPal button beneath every video or article.
Jeff, the state of Michigan legislature just passed legislation, and I don't know if the government will or will not sign it, saying that if you offend somebody by not using the pronouns that they prefer, you can be charged with a felony, and upon conviction, charge up to a $10,000 fine. Are you aware of that, sir?
Yeah, the governor will probably sign it, but it cannot be if you read the Constitution of the State of Michigan and of the United States, government shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Now, maybe they have made this law because the wording is vague. It's if a person feels threatened. Well, a person can say they're threatened by just the sound of John Moore's voice.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So what does that mean? You know, so it's hard to say. Certainly, my freedom of speech would be theoretically curtailed by that, because I talk about how the communists use these agendas, the racial agenda, the gay agenda, the feminist agenda, to advance their agenda. And of course, shutting down people talking about what the communists are doing would be something they'd want to go after someone like me. You know, and I think there's a 5-year jail term possible too.
That's right.
For violating this law.
It's bizarre.
Which is outrageous that someone, I mean, the laws of the United States, but of course they jailed someone in New York for something like this not that long ago.
Well, the people have been arrested, incarcerated back in 2020 for not wearing a mask while at an outdoor sporting event. We live in some truly freakish, bizarre times, don't we, sir?
Well, whenever there's panic and whenever there's disinformation and whenever people are confused, look, freedom and liberty in this country only lasts as long as people are up to the standard of having it. And I'm not sure, I begin to wonder whether people are up to that standard or not.
Well, I wonder, going to Taiwan for a moment, the people who run Taiwan, what confidence they have in the U.S. military to protect them when the U.S. military allows men to dress up and pretend to be women in uniform. What confidence would they have in that kind of military, do you think, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what kind of confidence do you have in a military whose leadership teaches its soldiers that they live in a horrible racist country, and that's the country they're fighting for? That's what critical race theory teaches. So you're basically teaching your soldiers propaganda that make them not really necessarily want to fight for a racist country, right?
Absolutely.
So it's very strange when you orient your soldiers to hate their own country for certain reasons, instead of understanding who the real enemy is.
Our enemies, North Korea, China, Russia, they don't do that to their own people. They don't have any programs that cause them to hate their own country. And I'm pretty sure none of our enemies allow the male soldiers to dress up and pretend to be women in a uniform, do they?
No, not that I know of.
Of course not. Of course not. And they're recruiting films out of Russia and China and North Korea show alpha male warriors doing alpha male warrior stuff, as opposed to the U.S. military, which promotes a young lady who had two women for mothers instead of a mother and a father as having some kind of elevated status as to what she overcome to become a U.S. Army soldier.
Well, when I was in boot camp and when I was in the Marine Corps Reserve, when you were on duty, you didn't have the choice of what you wore.
course not. Of course not. That's a given.
It's full of rules. It's all about rules.
It is.
You know, it's a massively circumscribed existence in which you're under strict discipline. I mean, I don't understand. You, now we're going to change the rules? I don't understand. You know, for
well,
why?
I know personally, I was very comfortable with the rules and the discipline. That was something that I was very comfortable with and dealt with quite effectively. It didn't bother me at all. I expected to have that kind of rules going into
it. Well, when you're giving people weapons, and very deadly weapons, they'd better be under strict rules.
Absolutely.
They'd better be. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. I mentioned Taiwan briefly. Any updates on what's going on with Taiwan, sir, if you have any?
You know, there's the news is mainly on, you know, coming out of Ukraine now. There's not much going on there, except that China is supporting Russia in this war. There's North Korea and Iran. So it's nothing there has changed. And, you know, Romania has demanded the more troops. There's French. They want more German troops there. I guess the Germans haven't responded, but there's really a great deal of border insecurity. And, of course, it is next Tuesday that the NATO summit is going to take place. I understand Biden is going to the NATO summit.
Really?
And, of course, there is concern about maybe a missile coming from Belarus hitting that summit. They've moved anti-ballistic missile systems to beef up the air defense and the anti-missile defense around that summit. It's a curious situation, and you know, you hear different things because the Ukrainians really have a blockade on information over their offensive, which I'm annoyed at them continually calling it a counteroffensive. A counteroffensive are attacks that are launched in the midst of an enemy offensive. There's no ongoing Russian offensive. They're on their back heels. They're not attacking. They're not committed to an offensive. This is a Ukrainian offensive to take back their territory. We just don't know. I mean, the Russians have made some admissions now that's interesting. It isn't apparently going that well for them. And the Ukrainians have crossed the Dnipro River around Kherson, and they're building up a bridgehead. So it looks to me like the Russians are going to be giving up territory. They're going to be falling back. And I guess we're going to see that in the coming weeks. But the lines probably won't change until August. That's when the crisis may develop.
Okay. All right. We got a call here, Jeff. We got Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to ask Jeff, especially if he knows, I hear people say it a lot of time on RBN that John Wesley Clark has told about all the times that it was written out that we were supposed to go to war. And I don't care for that guy at all. Because not only is he a Democrat who wanted to be president, but he highly recommends John Kerry. And John Kerry was a joke. I mean, everybody knows about the swift boat captains, about him giving himself all kind of medals and awards. And, well, anyway, I'm concerned that they may try to pull him out for president.
Wesley Clark, really?
John Kerry.
Oh, John Kerry.
Yeah, because he just gushed over John Kerry and said, I guess Conservapedia calls him an insane warmonger because, you know, he gushed over John Kerry because he was so qualified to run the country being in war.
I don't understand anyone who praises John Kerry. John Kerry's behavior and his his whole career is a disgrace, in my opinion. He ran for president, by the way, against George W. Bush in 2004.
Wait a minute. No reason. I can't hear you very well. Let me try to turn it up. I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, John Kerry did run for president back in 2004.
Right.
And lost George W. Bush, famously. But John Kerry, you know, the Swift boat thing. John Kerry was a naval officer on these gunboats in the Mekong in Vietnam. And he came back and testified to Congress and described American servicemen as engaging in rape and pillage and describing them as the minions of a kind of Genghis Khan. I think he used the term Genghis Khan. Testimony. I mean, this is seared in the memory of people who lived through that era, that he would accuse our own troops. I mean, he knew many of the things he was saying was not true. I mean, there's criminals in every military who commit crimes, but you try to punish them. But this picture of the U.S. soldier, of Americans, this slander, he participated in that. He helped the communist propaganda. And, of course, he's so far to the left, he's a menace. A person like that, but people don't recognize it. I mean, that a man like that could run for president and get that many votes is frightening.
Well, Joe Biden has given him a title of ambassador at large, right? He goes all over the world shaking hands.
Well, he's fighting he's in the fight against global warming. He's an ambassador doing the good work of fighting global warming. I just there was a news item recently. A lot of scientists thought when this solar cycle began, solar cycle 25, I believe it is, they thought that the grand solar minimum was starting now. But this solar cycle has picked up a lot of sunspot activity very quickly and is peaking. And they think it's going to be a short cycle, and that's why we've been having the warm weather, that this wasn't the grand solar minimum, though it started out like it was going to be. But then the next one definitely will be. There are some scientists concerned about severe global cooling. In fact, the chief scientist voicing concern are Chinese scientists saying severe global cooling is on its way. And, of course, Chinese would be panicked because China is a country that has to feed, over a billion people, and on arable, amount of arable land less than the U.S. has to grow food. So, yeah, John Kerry is pushing that global warming nonsense.
Right, and he's invested in China. I forgot how much it was, or how he did it.
I think the Chinese have invested in him.
I'm sure. Well, I just wanted to be sure that they wouldn't just drag him out. Everybody's wondering who in the world's going to be the Democrat, candidate if Biden says.
Well, like Mr. Biden, he's long in the tooth. And I'm really kind of surprised that Mr. Biden is going to run for a second term. But I suppose when you've committed as many crimes as he has, you need the protection of a Democratic-controlled Senate to keep you from being impeached and put in jail. Because Mr. Biden, I don't know that if he wasn't president, he could go very far without some grand jury indicting him.
Well, if we could get some Democrats to switch parties or vote right, we could still maybe get something done. But my personal opinion is there's so many people decided that they want to start a Constitution Party that they voted for the Constitution Party. So that was 5% of the vote. I think that's all we lost the Senate by, was about 5%, if people would just kind of not try to start a new party at such a critical time. All right, I'll let you go.
Thanks for the call, Pat.
Thank you.
We got our last break coming up here, and when we get back from the break, we'll have Jeff give a summary for this week. And We're not going to take any more calls. We don't have time. Well, Jeff, the war in Ukraine continues to move forward incrementally, doesn't it, sir?
Yeah, this is a period of the Ukrainians are chipping away at the Russian line, and we'll see how successful they are. Official statements are such that we don't know how successful this is until the Ukrainians make a final statement and either have stopped the attack or have broken through. So we don't know. We'll just wait and see.
Here's our last break. We'll be back with Jeff Summary right after the break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff, got about 3 minutes here to talk about the most important things you went to this week, sir.
Again, the thing that's got my attention in on my website, jrnyquist.blog, is this crazy mutiny of the Wagner mercenaries that happened a week ago Saturday, where they marched on Moscow. They took over the Southern Military District headquarters in Rostov, and now they're somehow in Belarus, so many kilometers away from where the Russians are bringing nuclear weapons into Belarus, and talking about, you know, helping the war effort again, which is bizarre, because there's also the claim that someone has tracked the transponder on Mr. Prigozhin's plane, and they say that it went to Moscow, as if he flew to Moscow for a meeting and came back. Of course, we don't know if we don't really know if that's really his plane or that he was on it, but it's kind of intriguing that he might have gone there, and that we have next Tuesday the meeting in Vilnius, the NATO summit meeting, and you've got on certain pro-Russian websites references to World War III starting on the 11th of July, which is next Tuesday. You've got Mr. Yuri Felchinsky's warnings going back to last year that Russia was going to move nuclear weapons into Belarus and that Russia was going to use nuclear weapons from that country, because that way Russia wouldn't receive the nuclear retaliation. Belarusia would receive the nuclear retaliation. And then Mr. Felchinsky's statement on the Silicon Curtain podcast of Jonathan Fink in April, saying that the Russians would make some kind of false flag capture of the nukes by an alleged pro-Ukrainian group. And of course, Mr. Prigozhin is being accused now of having met with the Ukrainian intelligence to go against Mr. Putin. That this mutiny was inspired by the CIA and the SBU, which is the Ukrainian CIA, and that Mr. Prigozhin is really an agent of Ukraine. So if Mr. Prigozhin's, this is so weird that Felchinsky's words months ago are becoming possible. What seemed outlandish, an outlandish statement, you know, that Russia would move nuclear weapons into Belarusia, which proved to be true, and that it would even be possible that an alleged pro-Ukrainian group would be with men with arms and guns could seize those weapons. Well, now we have such men and arms within reach of those weapons, and Putin all arranged the whole thing. It just craves wary watching. I'm not making a theory. I'm just saying how these facts are kind of suggestive, and I'm a little worried about it. A lot of people in Ukraine think that Mr. Prigozhin might launch an attack on Ukraine, on Kiev, or some other mission. So we'll have to see.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. Appreciate you being with us. We'll look forward to having you back next week, sir. Okay, that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaning essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never, ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, lovely state of Missouri to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.